which proclaims the goodness of God. Every day will I bless thee and praise thy name forever and ever. Lord, you have lifted us up out of the miry pit. You have taken us out of the depths and despair of sin, and you have established our going so that we might stand and walk and stand on that higher ground. And Father, I pray that you would lead us to that tonight, that you would feed us, that you would give us spiritual drink, Lord, that we might connect with you, that we might hear from you, that you would touch our hearts right in the place where we need to be touched, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come, precious Holy Spirit, anoint your servant this evening and your servants as we stand and wait in expectation. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God is good. Some of you sound like you didn't get your Mennonite nap today. And all the time. Okay, I'll bring you greetings again. If you are between the ages of 5 and 8, I want you to come up front right here. If you're between the ages of 5 and 8 and you were here this morning, because the questions I have is for those who are here this morning. So if you're between the 5 and 8, you come right up here. And if you're between the ages of 9 and 12, you sit on this side. 5 and 8 on this side. 5 and 8. And 9, 12. You can't get a seat on the chair. All right, now. That'd be big enough mouth, but anyway. All right. I got some treats here. A little bit of all kind of candy. And you get to take as much as you can. And then you give the parents the problem tonight. As someone said today, it is good to have grandchildren. We could just skip right through and go to grand and forget about having children. It's so great to have grandchildren. Yeah, grand. All right, if you are here this morning, I have a couple of questions for you on the message this morning. If you were listening to the message this morning, what you get to do is to come and put your hand in there and take as much as you can, but if one drop, you get to put it all back down, and you get to go and sit back down. So you got to put it in and take it out without not one dropping. Understand? I'll explain that more. But I have some very simple question. If you were here this morning, I spoke about two people, right? What was the name of the man? Remember, there was a man, and his daughter was sick. Does anyone even know what the man's name was? You saw your hand first? Nope. It was close, but far away. You got it right. So when you come and take, matter of fact, I'll bring you. I need one of you guys to come over here, the big guy here. Yeah, you come right up and hold it up here. And if she drops just one of them, you tell her, put it back down. So come and get it. You put your hand down, you take as much as you can, take it home with you. Okay, good. You did well. All right, let's ask you on this side here, and you get the answer also. You get a candy in your hand. This morning, we talk about the promises of God. What was the promise I talked about this morning? What was the promise? God gave us many promises, but I spoke of one promise this morning. And God says he is to us in this way. He promised us something. Do you remember what it was he promised? There's a lot of talking between the brothers here. And when I say brothers, I don't mean black. I mean brothers and brothers, okay? All right. What do you think? I see you discussing. What was the promise this morning? I told you later on today, the promise is on the blessing of God. What was it this morning? I'll give you a hint. Jehovah Jireh was a provider, but this morning I talk of Jehovah Rapha. He's our... Anyone out here know what it was? The promise of healing. Remember this morning? It was about healing this morning. So you guys won't get any candy, sorry. How many years was this lady sick? Remember the lady who was sick? Oh, man, he just shouted out, 12. All right, come on up, man. You didn't even wait for me to finish the question. Uh-oh, let's see what you're going to do here. Did I see something drop? I saw something drop, sorry. All right, sorry. I'll tell you why. All right. What did the sick lady say? What did the sick lady say she needed? Oh, sorry. Oh, what did she say to be healed? What did she say? She said something. She had a thought. She said, if I would only touch the hem of his garment, come on up. Let's see what you're going to do. If you're going to get all and take a nice big handful. Oh, you're smart. Huh. Mm-hmm. How old was the little girl? The little girl that was sick. How old was she? Does anybody remember? 12 years. You got it. She was 12 years old. Uh-oh. Sorry. I got an easy one for you guys. What book and chapter was the main passage this morning? Book and chapter. Matthew 5. I saw your hands up too, but what do you think? Was that right? Was it Matthew chapter or Mark 5? Anybody remember? Mark. So sorry. Mark 5. I mean, it is in different places in the Bible, but How's he going? You got it. All right. Boy, look like we're done here right now. Anyway, okay, so we don't have any more questions. You could put it down, and tomorrow we'll have some more questions, so you listen to the message. Well, it's kind of like this. You know, God says, I will provide all your needs. Jesus said, I will provide all your needs. The children of Israel, remember they were in the wilderness, and they were complaining because every day they had the same thing. Would you like to have hot dogs every day?
No.
Would you like to have hamburgers every day? No. Every day for 40 years?
No.
But God says, I would give. But you know what some of the people did? God says, I provide for each day. And some of them took extra. And guess what happened to the ones that was extra? At the end of the day, next day, what happened? Go ahead, yeah. Yeah. You got it. Didn't even have this question for you, but since you did so good, watch out. Keep an eye on her. Oh, good. So I want to just encourage you. God is going to supply your need. He knows what you need. And you don't have to go outside of God to get what you need. In God, He could supply everything you need just when you need it. Just when you need what you want. Sometimes you think, God doesn't know what I need. He knows even before you ask. So sometimes we go in and we want to take as much as we can. And then we lose everything. Let's just take what God wants to give to us. And as we receive it with thanksgiving, it's going to go a long way. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these, your young children. Bless them, Lord God. Help them to be content in this life with the things, God, that you would supply. You said you shall supply all their needs. Bless them and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may go back to your seat. All seats. Thank you very much for helping out. Tomorrow night we have some more questions. But tomorrow night you get a chance to listen to a story and then answer questions from the story. So tomorrow night we'll have a story time. You come up front. And we need a couple of people to help me with a story. And then you'll get questions from the story. All right. Now, this morning we began my story. But I'm trying to remember where I stopped. Anybody remember where I stopped? If you don't remember, we just go into the Word, no problem. Anybody remember where I stopped? You're smart, and then something happened. That's good, you got me there. Well, I think I remember stopping by telling you my mother had died, and there was a funeral service, and I didn't go to the funeral. I just went partying, and all the hurts and pains that went on. And then something happened a month later. What happened is I got word that my dad had died a month later. And when I heard he died, he already was buried that day. Maybe at 4 o'clock, and I heard about 6 o'clock. I would have gone to his funeral. Because even though he was a very hard man, I never heard him say, "One day I love you." I never remember one day he hugged me. But I believe he loves me. I remember one day one man had hit me, and he was very angry. He wanted to go fight with the guy. He wanted to defend me. He was a shoemaker, and shoemaker has these nice long leather belts. And I tasted it a lot. It wasn't nice, but it was very harsh. So when he died, I would have gone to his funeral, but I didn't know about it. I tried not to know about him. He had diabetes, and he lost both legs. I went to see him in the hospital. But there was so much anger inside of me that I didn't want to really have to talk to him or him talk to me. And I couldn't understand why this God that we talked about was such a good God. Why did I have to endure? Later on this week, I'll share with you how God takes us into places sometimes and we complain. And later on, he opens our eyes to see that we were complaining in vain, because there was something good and something that was bad that happened to us. Well, as the story goes on, here it was, my dad had died, and now I don't have a dad, I have a mom. I'm free anyway. I'm 13, 14 years old and on my own, doing whatever I want to do and enjoying what I thought was life. I got a job in the hospital. I was always a tall person. So when I went to the hospital for a job, they said, "How old are you?" I said, "I'm 18. And the lady said, "You said you were 19? I said, "Yeah, I'm 19. And okay, all right, you got a job. Didn't have to show any birth certificate or ID. And I got a job doing cleaning work, sweeping and cleaning and all. But I was making lots of money. And as time goes on, you know, things were going good and making money. And then one day I saw this young lady, a couple of ladies walking down the street from school. I would have been about 17. No, I would have been 18. Saw these girls and started talking to them. And we talked and talked and talked, and while we walked to go to get a taxi. Now, back in my country, when you get in a taxi, say you're going on, what is that, 33, down there, that road, the big road? Everybody that lives on 33 could take the same taxi, 4 or 5 people in one car. And it goes down the road and stop and stop and stop and go and stop and pick up people. So we all got in the same, because we were going in the same direction. The only difference, she was about 2 miles from where I lived. I got off first, then she got off. Well, I thought, this is a nice young lady. So the next day, I got down to the taxi stand early and waited. And when she came, I pretended I didn't know, and I was like, "Oh, I didn't know I was going to see you." You see, the day before, the reason why we started talking is because I had an umbrella. And I hate umbrellas because I always lose them. But that was a good one because she wanted a shelter in my umbrella. So we started a conversation. So the next day, things were going great. We got in the cab. And then we started seeing each other. And then I found out who she really is, because I kind of know. I didn't really know, but where I was staying, they knew her parents. And the parents was from on another side of the railroad tracks. They were the more decent people. By then, I was involved in drugs and alcohol, and I mean, because I was looking for love, but all in the wrong places. And the drugs wasn't doing it. The alcohol wasn't doing it. I wasn't getting involved with women. I didn't like them anyway. But this one was a nice one. Young girl, and looked like she had a lot of ambition. But I know her parents wouldn't, her mom wouldn't really like me too much because I was from the other side of the railroad track, and she knew the track I was on. She knew some of the people that I knew and the way I hang out and the things I did. But our attraction kept going and going and going until one day she told me she's graduating from high school, and she wanted me to come and to her graduation. And I broke up the relationship, didn't go to the graduation. I was hanging out, drinking, and partying. And then we didn't see each other for a long time until my 20th birthday. And I met her mother in the market. And my uncle was with me, and we invited him to come to my birthday party. Well, this young lady showed up at the birthday party. And the fire rekindled, and we started going again. And then maybe about 4 months after we started going together, she came and told me something one day. She says, you know, I'm pregnant. And I was like, pregnant? But I couldn't say it for long because I knew that I shouldn't be doing what I was doing. I shouldn't be getting into the places I was getting into. And I always promised myself I would never have a child out of wedlock because I knew what it was like growing up without a dad and a mom. And even though I wasn't a Christian, and even though I was 20 years old, and I was hanging out with all the girls and all the drugs and everything else, I kept myself because I wanted something different. I'm here to tell you that, young people, be careful out there. You said, well, you know, don't you trust me? I trust you, but I don't trust the enemy. Well, we got into a place where I had to make a decision. What do I do? Well, I'll have to marry her because, one, I love her, and two is I don't want a child growing up without a dad. We got married. While she was pregnant, she was very young, maybe 17, I think, somewhere there. I had to get permission, right, from her parents. We got married. And we had a wonderful, beautiful baby girl. And then the baby was 6 months old, and something happened. All right. You know what it is, right? You know it's time to get into the message. Something happened. Something happened that really affected my life. Something happened to change a lot of ways that I had and a lot of thoughts that I had. 6 months old baby, beautiful daughter. And something happened. All right, if you have your Bibles, let's get into the Word. I told you this morning, a series of messages this week is on the promises of God. God has given us promises. And this morning, He promised of healing. And today, we want to talk about blessings. How do we get and receive the promises of God? We must become children of God if you really want to receive the blessings of God. See, sometimes we want to live out there and do our own thing and expect God to just bless us. And He did it differently. The way He did it was so differently because here it was. He was healing and people getting to know Him and everything was happening around Him. And then the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, and seeing the multitude, He went up into a mountain, and when He sat, His disciples came unto Him. So people were following Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. And now all the people heard about Him, and they come. I want you to picture it. Here He was at the bottom of the mountain there, and people coming to hear Him, all the wise people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, people from different places. And they want to hear what wisdom He have. And then the disciples come and say, Master, the people are here. And then there's a quiet because the master is about to speak. Now I want you to help me. Help me with this. The very first thing he said that came out of his mouth was, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." What's the rest? Blessed are the poor. Now, come on, Jesus, you got to be kidding me. The first thing you could talk about is poor. Poor in spirit. What is all this thing about the kingdom of heaven now? We want to hear something more exciting. We heard, you know, you were healing and there was great miracles done. And I mean, you went into the wilderness and now you're telling me, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What is he saying? What do you think he's saying when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit? Help me. What does he mean, the blessed are the poor in spirit? What is it? Who's he talking to? Come on, someone help me. This is not just me speaking tonight. I want to get a little back and forth from you. Who is the poor in spirit? I mean, what is poor in spirit? What does it mean? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Humble. What else? Come on. Recognizing you have a need. Not coming like a spiritual giant. Well, you know, my grandfather was the bishop of the Mennonite Church there in Goshen, and my father, he was the pastor, and I got all these acolytes and all these things, and you know, coming humbly. Humbling yourself before God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The reward of coming poor in spirit, he says, the kingdom of heaven. A promise that you would come to him poor in spirit, knowing you have a need. The kingdom of heaven is both eternity and it's also here. Because in Romans chapter 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ our Lord. And in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. So it's not just about going in this place far in the sky. You could have kingdom living right here on this earth. You could have the protection of God right here on this earth. Because the thief will come. The enemy wants to destroy us. God offers us salvation as a gift through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can't boast when we come before God. We come humbly before God. You know, sometimes we have these feelings that we can just, you know, we could talk to God the way we talk to one another. But God is awesome. Yes, we can bring our requests and let it be known to him. Jesus answered, for by grace you are saved. We must, in short, be poor in spirit. We must recognize our sinfulness before we understand our need for a Savior. See, I had to know that I needed a Savior because of my sinfulness. Because if I'm not living in sin, then why do I need a Savior? If I'm not drunk, why would I need a lifeguard? I have to know that I have a need. And he said, when you come to him with a need, saying that, Lord, here I am. I have nothing. You have everything, Lord God, everything you own. And I want from you, I want to be blessed by you. I want to live the life you have called me to. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So the poor in spirit, the next one is blessed are those that, what's the next one? Mourn. What happened to those that are mourn? They shall be comforted. So, okay, so I come to Jesus, poor in spirit, my sinful ways, and now he says, Blessed those that mourn. Do we mourn our old sinful ways, or we just, you know? Do we mourn some of the things, the way we lived and the way we grieve God and the life we have lived and some of the lie and deceits that we mourn some of the things that we have done. But he said, when you mourn, you shall be comforted. It is one thing to be spiritually poor and to acknowledge it. It's quite another to grieve and mourn over that spiritual life that you once had or lack of. The Apostle Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Romans 7, 24. Earlier in the epistles, Paul says, I know that what dwells in me is not good. Think of Romans. Romans, you know, Paul talked in Romans chapter 7 about, oh, wretched man that I am, who would deliver me? And then he got to Romans 8, and all of a sudden he starts off Romans 8 with Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1. Anybody know what that says? Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1. Now, not tomorrow, now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, that walks not after the flesh, but after the... Come on, you guys got to help me. I know you know that. This is Sunday evening teaching. This is Sunday evening. We kind of, you know, learning here. But you come to the place of mourning. Like the prophet Isaiah. Remember what Isaiah? Isaiah had... You know, five chapters already. And then you come to chapter 6, and it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I see the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. There was a time of grief and mourning, and here he is. He went into the temple. Five chapters later, he comes, and he says, oh, I am a sinful man. I live among sinful people. He came mourning. He thought of all what his people had done, what he had done, and he humbled himself. Who shall deliver me? And then he saw the seraphims and the cherubims, and they came and they cleansed him by touching his tongue with the coals. And he was cleansed. Just as the Christian life begins with poverty of spirit and emotional response of godly sorrow over sin, so it breaks out in joy of the forgiveness, the joy of God's salvation. Just as we mourn, we should come out rejoicing. Look what the Lord has done. He delivered me from a life of darkness into his marvelous light. There's things to rejoice. But we mourn first and then we rejoice after. The comfort that Jesus offered to all that mourn with a godly sorrow is that the sin that they repent over can come to an end in their lives. We don't have to continue sinning. He has made a way for us. And if at times we sin, there is forgiveness. But we don't sin because we are forgiven. Let's go to the next one. Blessed are, not too sure, huh? Blessed are the weak. What's the difference between weak and meek? Anyone help me out. What's the difference? Weak, meek. Is there a difference? Was Jesus weak or meek? Huh? Was Moses meek or weak? Powerful man of God. There's a difference. Blessed are the meek, for they shall do what? Inherit the earth. The third beatitude puzzled many people in the workplace, in part because they don't understand what it means to be meek. Meekness is not weakness. I have a son that is 6 feet. What is it? Five inches tall. How many pounds? About maybe, very much, maybe, I don't know, 300, 400 pounds, I don't know. Big boy. He's not weak, but he's so meek. We call him the humble giant. You know, you see him, you think, oh man, what's a big boy? But he is so meek, not weak. He is so meek the way he talks, the way he lives, the way he does his things. I believe meekness is a strength that has been contained. I have it, but it's been contained. Jesus had all the strength, yet he knew how to contain it. When they came to get him, he said, I can do this, and the angels would come, and he knew what it is to be meek. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit better than he who captures the city. Blessed are the meek. And God wants us to be meek, not weak. We don't have to, well, because I can do whatever I want to do, you know. Because, you know, I'm big, I'm strong. No. We need to bring that to a place where we can glorify God. Let's go to the other one. We got a lot of them yet to go. Next one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What does that mean? Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. So we had mercy, they obtained mercy. Now we're talking about hunger and thirsting. Todd, you've been to Jamaica a couple of times. I don't know for you, but when I go to Jamaica, and before we are landing in Montego Bay or Kingston, I'm hungering and thirsting for some good rice and peas and brown stew fish. And I'm thirsting for some coconut water. Now, some of you may not like it, but I knew some places in Jamaica I can go and get it. And as soon as we land, the first thing I want to know is, are we going to eat? Because I'm hungry and thirsting for this natural food. What about the spiritual food? Are you hungry and thirsting for the righteousness of God? Are you hungering and thirsting? And if you hunger and thirst, he says, you shall be filled. You shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So my question to you is, are you hungering and thirsting for his righteousness? Do you get into his word? Do you apply his word to your life? I'm not talking about your own righteousness. I'm talking about his righteousness. All right, let's run along here. I think I got so much. Let's get to the next one. What's the next one? This is the one I want to really go on, get into. The next one. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What does it mean to be merciful? When I look back at my life and see what God has done for me, how merciful he had been in my own life. You know, if I had to judge my own self, I would have condemned myself. But I thank God I didn't have to. He did. He showed mercy. And he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So if you want to receive mercy, then you need to give. How many of us, through this COVID, thinks about that sometimes? Are you merciful? But you want to receive mercy. Are you just, it's all about me. It's all about me. You know, it's about me. I can do this and I can do this. But think of people who, like myself, have underlying things with diabetes and high blood pressure. Am I thinking about these people or just thinking about myself? When they say, wear a mask, you may not agree with it, and I may not agree with it. It's kind of wearing this thing. You're breathing and smelling your own breath, and some of us, you know it smells. Never realize your breath smells like that until you wear a mask all the time. You know, before you were looking at, oh, somebody breath smell around here. All of a sudden, now you know it's yours. Let's come to the place to show mercy to those. What about those who is not living the Christian life like you want them to? So here they are, they're doing the things that you used to do. You know, that's one of the problems that I had to deal with. When I got saved, it took me 6 weeks to stop drinking, stop smoking crack cocaine, stop getting involved in all kinds of drugs. And I never, ever went back to drinking. God be praised for that. I never drank not even a beer since I got saved. Well, 6 weeks after I got saved. I don't smoke anymore. I don't even have the feeling to smoke. I've kept myself to my wife only. And then I see people got saved and they go back and forth, back and forth. And God is saying to me, I want you to show mercy. So these were areas that you were strong in. These were areas you were able to just give up to me. But there's areas in your life you need to give to me. Maybe you get angry sometimes. And when you get angry, and you would want people to show mercy to you, are you showing mercy to others? Let's get to the next one. Help me out here. Blessed are the pure in heart. What does it mean to be pure in heart? What does it mean? Tell me, someone. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Who's helping me out here? Anyone? What does it mean to be pure in heart? Blessed are the pure in heart for? What's the rest? They shall see God. Do you want to see God? Well, if you want to see God, he said, blessed are the pure in heart. Lord, examine my heart. Lord, is my heart pure or has a deceitful heart? And if it is, God, could you take out that thing in me that is causing it not to be pure, not to be real, not to be true, not to be honest? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I believe every one of us here would like to be in that place where we can hear the words, good, welcome you, good and faithful servant, you have done well. God is, it's a challenge. It's a challenge he's given us here. I'm going to come back to some of these after. Help me to the next one. We'll bring it together soon. Blessed are the peacemakers. Finish it. They shall be called what? The children of God. Now, there's a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper, right? Are you a peacemaker or a peacekeeper? What God called us to be? What did God call us to be, peacemakers or peacekeepers? And what's the difference? To me, to keep the peace is because I wouldn't say what I should say. See, I just want to keep the peace. You know, I don't want to cause any ripples. I remember many years ago, and I don't know if Todd remembered, he came to preach someplace, and he was preaching really good, and all of a sudden he says, now I'm going to start to meddle. This is time for meddling. And you know, this is time for meddling. Blessed are those that God has called us to be peacemakers, not just trying to keep the peace. What does it mean? This is the word of God. God said that it's not by your works, but by grace you are saved. But some places, if I say that, or for instance, if I say, God will always love you. No matter what you do, he will always love you. You say, well, that's kind of pushing it. I mean, what do you mean, anything I do, God will still love me? Well, he said to Jeremiah, my love for you is an everlasting love. How long is everlasting? How long does it last? What? Some of you ain't sure what everlasting is, huh? What is everlasting? Forever and ever and ever. No, God hates the sin, but he loves the... That's the truth. I remember preaching that one time in a church in Pennsylvania. And the preacher, you know, didn't wait for me to finish up. He started to look at me and started to wag his fingers. God would always love me. He don't love the action or the things I do, but he see beyond my fault and he see my needs. Or if I say, well, you know, I believe that God has called me to be a light, to be an example. And I don't want to be a stumbling block. Take, for instance, a little simple thing like this. And I'm not calling on anyone right now. But, for instance, I don't wear a necktie. You say, why? Is it sinful? No, it's not. Could I show you in the Bible? No, I don't believe so. But the people I work among, I know they'll have a problem if I wear one. So, I don't want to be a stumbling block. So, I don't wear one. I remember one place someone told me that I should. Now, if it would help for you, for me to share the gospel, maybe I would. But I've never come to the place where I had to. But I don't want to be a peace, just trying to keep the peace. For instance, all what's happening right now in the country. Do I stay quiet? Or do I speak about what's going on? Could I just be a peacekeeper and just keep the peace? But some things I know it's wrong. And when I speak about it, I don't go on Facebook and advertise it. People think, well, oh, you kind of. But have you, you know, I've seen many people talk about this whole black and white issue. And people have all the different opinions. And I could just keep the peace and don't say anything. Or I could say some of the things is true. In the last 20 years more, we have been all over the country, and 99% of the places we go, we're the only black family was going there. Did I see racism? Sure I did. Did I always look for it? No, I never did. Did I have to talk about it? Sometimes I did. I remember being in Mississippi, Macon, Mississippi one time for a wedding, and the lady I was staying at, she said, you know, my son don't go to the Mennonite church anymore. Oh, yeah? No. He goes to the Baptist church. So, but they wouldn't allow you to come there. What do you mean they wouldn't allow me to come? She said, well, you know, this is the South. Oh, you mean because I'm from up north, I live in New York? Oh, no. You know, because she's trying to tell me nicely, and I wanted to tell me what it is. Don't be a peacekeeper. Be a peacemaker. Tell me what it is. So she said, well, you know, it's different. Oh, is it because I'm a new Christian? No. Is it because I don't live in the area? Oh, no. Well, you know, because you're a different color. Oh, yeah. Oh, let me talk to the pastor. So I called her son and I said, could you ask your pastor to come over? I just want to talk to him and let him know Jesus loves him and loved me too. And he called the pastor. And here the wedding's about to start and I got to go to a wedding that I came to. But I wanted to talk to the pastor. So he came and he told me. He said, when I came to this place, they told me, don't let the black folks come. Because when they come, they bring their friends. And then their friends bring their family, and then they take over the whole church. I said, good, go start another church. You could be the best church planting team ever. I said, anyway, tomorrow morning, I'm going to stop in and give your deacon a big hug and tell him Jesus loves him and loves me too. My wife said, no, you're not going to do that. But I'm telling you, sometimes there is a people that go from one end of the spectrum to another end of the spectrum. Now, do I be just a peacekeeper and just don't say anything? Or do I be, add a lot of things on that are not true? Not everyone have treated us in that way. We have been to places you would never know. You know, people that ask me, you have four of your children married, yeah? They're married to a white. They're white? Oh, I can't remember. I sort of pretend sometimes. But I'm telling you, it's real. Some of this racism thing is real. It's not. I'm not telling you because I'm black. We've experienced some of the things. Could you imagine someone asked my wife one day, how do you know when your children need a bath? What do you mean? Well, you know, when our children need a bath, they start getting kind of dark. But yours is already dark already. How do you know when they need a bath? Well, that's not a racist thing, but just asking the question, you want to know what do you think? We just wait till our children turn white before they get a bath? Some of the questions we have had, I wouldn't even want to say it on the stage here. But I've looked at it many times as ignorance, and I've never really. But lately, I've seen some stuff on Facebook, and I don't respond to those things. But if they would come and ask me, I could tell them stories in South Carolina going to a BMA meeting, and the guy that picked me up, we had a long conversation. And I realized that what he was talking about is, it's not Christian-like. And I had to call him out on some things. God wants us to not just be peacekeepers and keeping the peace. There were times when I would stay quiet. Times when we got to speak out. You know, some of the stuff that's happening in the country, the hate, all that looting and burning, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's evil. But some of the things, bringing light to some of the things. See, you don't know what it's like to sit with your children when they're, my son's, like I told you, my son is 6'5" tall, big boy. I have to tell him, now, if you go down the street and you get stopped by the police, this is what you got to do. I remember going to Alabama one night, and we were driving late at night, and all I'm concerned about is I don't get stopped. If I get stopped, I know what I got to do. I got to turn off the engine, got to put my hands on the dashboard, turn the lights on the inside, turn the windows down because of the color of my skin. I'm telling you, this is real. We were in South Carolina, and we were heading to Texas. We had to stop in Mississippi. James Stutzman, we were at his church many years ago, told us, oh, we know some people in Mississippi that you can stay with on the way out. He called them up, and they say, yep, you could come and stay at our place. What time are you going to get here? Maybe around 11 o'clock at night. See, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit on the main road in my truck. I'm going to sleep there and wait till you come. Do not come knocking on the door. You may go to the wrong door. You'll get shot. Because my neighbors, they don't like black folks. I have to tell my children, okay, what do we do? Oh, we travel to places. And my son-in-law was there, and he's white. So we pulled up at a place one day, and we wasn't sure we were the right house. But he's white, so we tell him, you got to go out. You knock on the door. This is real. This is something I'm telling you that we have lived. And I wanted to share that with you. I wasn't planning on that in my message, but I want to share with you. It is real. It's a sin problem. And sometimes the sin problem turns to be a skin problem because of the color of the skin. And I don't know how many of you parents have sat down with your boys and tell them, when you're driving, this is what you need to do if you get stopped at night. This is the areas you're going to. When we had to buy a house in Columbus, we had to be careful where we're going to live. It's still real today. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers. Yeah, let's go to the other one. I don't know why God just wanted me to share this with you, but I want to tell you, they haven't stopped me from loving and being loved by people of all different colors. We have traveled in so many different parts of the world. And I never went looking for these things. Next one. What's the next one? Blessed are those that are persecuted. Are we back to the same one again? Are we right? Why did he come back with almost the same thing again? Let me see this here. Blessed are those are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted thee the prophets which were before you. Blessed are those that are persecuted. You will be persecuted when you stand up for righteousness, when you stand up for the things of God. In the world we're living in today, if you say abortion is wrong, you'll be persecuted. Same-sex marriage is wrong. We have a ministry called the FAM. You'll hear about it on Friday, the Family and Marriage Ministry. It's a house with 7 bedrooms, and families can come, and couples can come, and they could, doesn't have to, it's by donation. And we can't advertise it on Facebook. Well, only on our private site, because there are people who are homosexual, 2 men, 3 men, 4 men wants to come. And if we say you can't come because of our religious belief or our Bible belief that homosexuality is wrong, we could get in trouble. There's a real true time coming right now where, as Christians, we will be persecuted for not who we are, but we will be persecuted for who we serve. And we got to be ready for that time. We got to be ready for instance, I had to go to Jamaica to do a marriage retreat. This was different. This wasn't among the Mennonite church. It was different churches from Kingston to Montego Bay. And I was home one day and I was thinking about it. We're going to do a marriage retreat. And we want to encourage couples. But I should talk to these pastors. So I didn't even call. I took a flight and went down to Jamaica. I met with all the pastors and the church leaders. And I started from Genesis. And I told them, you know, God made them male and female. And yes, and, you know, the man was supposed to rule and how God says. And then I told them, there's a couple of things. One, we don't administer in our marriage retreat to divorce and remarry. And the first thing one of the ladies says, well, what about the deacons and the pastors in our churches that are divorced and remarried? Well, I said, well, hey, if God called you to that ministry, great. This is what God called us to strengthen first marriages. And very soon, you know, the church would be accepting everything. I said, and the next thing is that in the meetings, the men would lead out. And persecution would come, I know. When you say things like that. But this is what the Word of God says. Or when I tell people that come on us on trips that you must wear, the ladies must wear a veil, and the men, the young men should not wear shorts, I will be persecuted. But according to the Word of God, this is what I go with. See, when I stand before God, I wouldn't stand with you. Todd, you wouldn't be standing there with me. I'll be standing there with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and I'll be judged according to. So tonight, I want to tell you, there is a blessing. God wants to bless us even though we go through persecution. God said we'll be blessed even though we are poor in spirit. God said we'll be blessed when we are merciful. God says we are blessed when we are pure in heart. And I want to encourage you this day to want to receive the blessings of God, to be called blessed. And persecution will come. And my prayer for you and myself is that we'll be able to stand. As the Bible says, when you have done all to stand, stand. I want to finish up with just one more thing. So here it is, God promised us that blessing, that we'll be blessed. But there is something we need to do. We need to commit ourselves to Him. We need to commit. You see, We want one part. We want the blessing. But are we committing our lives to him? Are we living the life? Are we showing by examples? Or are we just living in our own little world and just doing our own little thing? When you have all these riots and everything is happening, are we praying? There's an election coming. And even as COVID becomes political, everything is political now. But are we praying? The Bible says God sets up kings and governments, and God brings them down. Are we praying that God will set up and keep what he wants? Or it's just, well, we like this person, and we like this person, and we like the other person. This is a hard election. It's a very difficult one. I told people I voted one time in my life, and that was 30 years ago in my country of Trinidad. And today when I look, I try to figure, Lord, let me just pray for these people. Because I know persecution is coming, and Lord, we are praying against the persecution. Lord, I know you want us to be pure in heart, Lord God. Soften my own heart. Help me to be merciful and to love people and forgive them. Those who do not live like me or look like me or talk like me. Those that don't have the same color or the same place or background that I came from. To know that we are all God's children. No matter what color, what creed, or where you came from, we all created by the same God. Let's stand. I could go on and on tonight, but I just want to remember, blessed. As you look at those verses, tomorrow night I want to get into the real deal of what does it mean to be the salt and light of the earth? What does it mean to let our light shine? Are you salt and light? So if you have a chance, you could read that. Great. What does it mean? You're here tonight and you're saying, well, you know, yeah, well, I want to be a peacemaker, but sometimes it's so hard. It's so hard to share my faith in a lawless world we're living in. But God didn't ask, he called you to be. And he who called you will equip you. When people ask the question, don't be afraid to answer them. I remember there are groups come to New York, and I'd ask them, I said, well, okay, before you go out, you ladies, someone see you, and they see this. They say, what's that thing on your head, and what's it for? Don't tell them because the church requires it. Take them to what the Bible says. Show them this is why I do this. Or young men, when they look at you, and you're not doing the things like the world is doing it, and they want to know why you're different. Share with them what God has done in your life. It's not about the church. It's what God has done in your life. Boast in him. Exalt him. Lift him up. Because you see, if I be lifted up, the blessings are going to come. The blessings are going to come. So I just want to encourage you tonight. Tonight I had so much I wanted to talk about, but I don't know why God took me on this track. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let's start speaking up for Jesus Christ. Let's start being bold when people ask us, why do you believe abortion is wrong? Why do you believe racism is wrong? Why do you believe homosexuality is wrong? Why do you believe it's wrong to hate your neighbor? Why do you believe it is wrong to burn and to destroy? Why do you believe these things? Because of what God has shown me. Why don't I smoke and drink anymore? I believe my body is a temple of God. I don't want to defile it. So I don't drink, and I don't offer anyone to drink. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and praise tonight. God, you told us so many things in your word tonight. You said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see you, God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Help us to meditate on those, your words, Beatitudes, to be in an attitude of. And Father, tonight we thank you, we praise you. And Lord, as we go to bed tonight, help us to meditate on those words, on those blessed. Help us to be what you called us to be. Be with each and every one as they go from here, Lord God. Help us to be bold in proclaiming Jesus Christ. Help us to stand up in a world that is corrupt, in a world that is going in the wrong direction. And Lord, the government can't do it. Money can't do it. But you can. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn away from their wicked ways, you said, Lord, you will hear from heaven. You'll forgive sins and you'll heal the land. And the land needs healing. And Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to stand for righteousness. Your righteousness' sake. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
God's people said, amen. Thank you, brother, for sharing. Shall we stand for closing? And I had wanted to sing at the beginning the song, I will extol thee, O my God, and praise thee, O my King. Yea, every day and all the way thy praises I will sing. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name, O Lord, forever and ever. Let's sing it together.